You're an enemy of Yahweh. And he said, my wrath and my anger and my F is going to be poured out upon those, my heart displeasure, my venomous poison upon those that are against me. Because he tells us how to live with each other. He tells us how to love each other. He tells us how to walk and to work with each other. He tells the man of Yahweh how to reprove and rebuke and expose the sin that will bring corruption into his house. And made the house of Yahweh into a whorehouse. Yes, say it again, they made it into a whorehouse. You got to deal with every kind of spirit. You can't offend that God or Sister Roberts. You can't offend this sister's God. You can't offend that sister. You can't offend that brother's wife God. You can't offend mom and daddy's God. You can't offend their daughter's God. You can't offend your God. You can't offend your husband's God. Can't offend Yosef's God. It's become nothing but a whorehouse. And so men today, they are so afraid and so timid, they got to tiptoe, and they don't want to touch Brother Jermaine's God. They don't want to touch Deacon Benny's God. They don't want to touch old Elder Crawford's God. So they got to tiptoe, and they got to keep things so generic, they don't touch nothing. They don't even touch Yahweh. They don't even touch the Shemayams. They never cause wonder that their issues to be brought forth, and they see the things that are bringing them under great bondage. I will not do that. There was a man that wrote me last night. Before I went to prayer at 2, 3 a.m. this morning. That's what time I go. What, 3? And I just simply checked the email at that time. I will answer my brother. If you're listening now, I will answer you. And I will answer you truthfully. I will write him back. But you can sense the very tearing of the man's heart. He has brought his children up in truth. And now he senses that their heart is turning to the things of the world. And that's what the world does. It draws them away because there's such pleasure in the world. There's a lot of pleasure. It kills you. It destroys homes. It destroys relationships. Why is it so concerned with getting and having and looking and presenting themselves? Husband wants to be looked at or esteemed as though he has some advantage in life and he has prospered. I don't want that. I want to be like HaMashiach. Though he was rich, he became poor. I don't care for the things of this world. I don't want them to encumber me or cause me to be cumbered with them, brought under the yoke of them. I have food and raiment. I'm there with. With that alone, I'm very content. I'm blessed and I'm happy. I'm blessed and I am happy. I'm blessed and I'm happy. And Yahweh goes on to say, he tells us to circumcise our hearts before Yahweh. Take away the foreskin of your lever. You men of Yahuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, least, he said, now if you don't do this, brothers and sisters, he said, least my fury, my indignation, my burning anger, my rage. He said, least my fury come like fire and burn that none can quench it because the evil of your doing. That is why Yahweh is angry. Anger is just an expression of someone being angry. That's all it is. And that's why he is angry. And his anger has been shown. He said, I'm going to consume you. You don't know me. He said, your evil doings. The issues of your heart, they're evil. They're not about me. They don't support me. It supports your own agenda. Your agenda is against me. Your desire is against Yahweh, brothers and sisters. It's not for Yahweh. Yahweh tells us, he tells the men of Yahweh to weep. Between the porch and the altars for the daughters of Zion, for the house of Yisrael. That's what he wants us to weep for, brothers and sisters. We can't go against what he said. We go against what he says, then we are wrong. We are defying him. We are disobedient. He has given us a direct roadmap to him to understand his heart. He wants us to understand his heart. He knows what our heart is. It's deceitful. It's wicked. It's desperately wicked. And only Yahweh says, I can know it. And so if you understand me, you have my heart. That's not hard to understand. That's easy to understand. An uneducated heathen like me understands that. That's what he wants from us. This generation has become so dignified and so arrogant. They say, nah, it's a foolish generation. It's a sottish generation. It's a generation that has no love for nothing. They've lost natural affection. Your daughters and your sons, they don't have love. They will sell you for a bag of beans. Oh, I don't believe that. I know you don't. They will sell you. They don't care. Unless Yahweh radically, I mean radically, changes one's heart. They're not going to be changed. And how is it changed? By the hearing. By the Shema, the word of Yahweh. The love of Yahweh comes by hearing. The love of Yahweh comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And the love of Yahweh is spread abroad in our heart by the Ruach. The love of what? For His truth, His word. So you must hear in order to have love. This trash that we suppose is love, it is nothing but drugstore Christianity bought with nothing. It's putrefied. Well, you shouldn't hurt anyone's feelings, and yet we despise Yahweh every day. We bring Hamashiach to the death and the shame of that stake every day with our sins and our rebelliousness and our evilness. And only way that that evil can be discovered, you must break the fallow grounds up. And you can't do it with a little pitchfork. You got to get down. You got to get down with those tines, and they get down. You can't use but two at a time, can you? Huh? That's all you can use. I'm using one tine. And that is the sword of Yahweh. The word of Yahweh. The sword of the Ruach. Because it's two-edged. That tine just got a little sharp point at the end. This is a two-edged. His word is a two-edged sword, and it cuts. It separates. Do you understand? So Yahweh is trying to inform us that you don't understand my anger and my fury and my indignation. He said you need to be cleansed and circumcised so that you may stop doing your evil ways. You may stop your evil doings. It's not that we cannot, we can. But it must be brought to our attention of our evil ways. And these whorehouses today do not bring to attention the evil ways of the people. And yet they have all compromise and sold themselves because they're afraid of the visage of the people. They're afraid to speak truth. He says to me often, Pastor Robert, don't stop preaching the way you preach. That brother down there in Houston, he said, Pastor Robert, unless it is preaching like that, it's not preaching. Not only do you preach it, but you teach us what the word says. So he tells us to begin with the fallowness of your heart ways. Look at your neighbor and say, am I hard? Look at someone like I tell you. Now you answer the question. Hallelujah, Yahweh. And see the hardness of your own heart because of the hardness of your own heart. Yeah, you got to do that because you know how you are. You're fallow ground. So what do, preacher? I bring out the sword and the tine to break up that fallow ground. It's hard. And if you had something that was a soft cookie daddy up here, you would railroad me out of here. And I won't let you do it. Not any of you. Not even a group of you. Not even a contingent of you. It's not that many of us in here anyway. So you're not going to railroad me. I'm going to preach what's in the book. Do you understand what you're preaching? I won't mess with what I don't understand. What I do understand, I will deal with that. And I do understand the nature of His people and how they oppose Him. And we have become enemies. You notice He talking to Yehuda and Jerusalem. Are we a part of that? Okay, then He's talking to you, isn't He? He says, my fury is going to come like a fire, and it's going to burn, and none can quench it. Who's going to stop Yahweh in His anger? Can you stop Him when He gets angry? You can't stop Him. Oh, I know His anger is but for a moment, but in one place I will show you in Scripture, He was angry with Jerusalem for 30 years. It's not in the book. For 30 years He was angry with them. 30 years. Have any of you all been angry with someone for 30 years? Most of you haven't lived 30 years. But for 30 years He was angry with them. Because a day, 1,000 years to Yahweh is like a day. And 1,000 years to Him is, 1,000 years is like a day to Yahweh. And a day to Him is like 1,000 years. So time is no element with Yahweh. So He doesn't measure time the way we do, brothers and sisters. He says, nothing is going to quench this because of the evil, because of the sadistic manner that you operate in. Now He said the evil of whose doings? The evil of whose doing? Your doings. Nothing's going to quench it. Nothing. His fire, His indignation. Because of your own evil doing, brothers and sisters. You say, well, Pastor Roberts caused me to be angry. No, you call yourself because anger rests in your own bosom. I'm angry at sin every day. I'm angry at my shortcomings. If you're not, something is wrong with you. You're sick. If you don't get hostile with yourself, something is wrong. It's easy to get hostile with a brother or sister, isn't it? But you don't get hostile with yourself. It's easy for you to try to correct someone else. But come on, correct yourself. By the same measure that you correct a brother or sister, you judge yourself even tenfold on that same judgment. And so I judge myself. And I've never talked back or spoken evil to a man of Yahweh. I don't care who he was. I've never turned my lips up. I've never spoken. I've never done what you have done. I've never been smart with my mouth like that. Never in all of my life. and I'm a man. I've never done that. And I've had men that I sat under and they didn't honor me. That was all right, but I learned valuable experience from that. I remember in the first assembly I was in, Ellaby, he said to me, he was very cruel with me that day. I said, okay, I understand. Why? Because he had to take a position. It didn't bother me. Did that make me slough on my job? I became more intense in my effort. I taught the young boys, and Sister Robinson taught the young girls. He had nobody else that was faithful like us. As a matter of fact, he gave us a trophy and a reward because of our consistency and our faithfulness. That didn't stop me because he reproved me and showed me how shallow I was. I became more committed to the man. I became more diligent in my efforts. I worked harder. I didn't let some shallow emotions separate me from that because I learned much from him. He taught us faith and he had the power to believe your way. Until he rose up in his own strength and his own arrogance. He could not see his own sin. He began to sin egregiously against your way. I've never done those things. Never. Never. I would weep if I talked or I presented myself to my mother in a way that was crude. I would do that. I've never done those things. And she didn't whip me like some of you youngers call yourself getting whippings. She bust my heart until I was 17, until I left her house. This is a generation that's arrogant. The little 15, 16-year-old girls think they know more than the mothers. And it's wrong. It's wickedness. They don't care how they respond to them. Let them go to hell. I will take my hands off of them. Yahweh has. You can hold them to them all you want to. He has taken his hands off them. He said all those that are 19 and under, he said, those that are old, kill them. And he destroyed them. And he destroyed the sinner. He tried to do that to send people in that were that can maintain a little truth, but they still didn't maintain it. And he gave them leaders that would speak to them truth. And they still went back to their corrupt ways. They still went back. So you can't make anyone worship Yahweh and love him. The anger of Yahweh, as he expressed it to Yahuda, repent. Now, he warned them that they will repent, brothers and sisters. So he warns us today that we may repent and change from our evil ways. Hallelujah. And then he shows us in the same book, look at the 30th chapter, verse 22 of Jeremiah. He shows us the blessing under the power and this knowledge of HaMashiach. And he shows us here whereby his wrath is going to come upon the wicked. And who are the wicked? We think it's those out there, these faggots. It is the house of Yahweh. They reject judgment, reject Yahweh's correction. They are the ones that are wicked. He says here in Jeremiah 30, verse 22, he says, now who is he talking to? He said, and you shall be my what? People. He said, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Abba. Yes. He says, look now, the whirlwind of Yahweh goes forth with fury, and a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. Now, a wicked man is one, as he says unto Ezekiel, Yeshaya. He says, Yeskel. He says, you warn the righteous. Did he say that? And did he tell them to warn the wicked man too? What? He was telling him to warn the house of Israel to turn from your wicked ways. Turn from that. So what he's saying, you warn the wicked to turn from their ways. To turn from your laws and your government and turn to the pure government of Yahweh. But he said, the pain shall be upon the head of the wicked. Verse 24, the fierce, now that is just not anger, but an anger of great intensity. He said, the fierce anger of Yahweh shall return. Shall what? Shall not return. Do you all hear that? He said, I won't take nothing back. I like that. He said, I'm not taking one word back. I'm not changing nothing. He says, should not return until he has done it and until he has performed the intent of what? You tell me the love of Yahweh gets angry? That's his intention? He said, not until he has performed the intent of his love, and in the latter days you shall consider it. You shall know who has done it because it is me. He said, I'm going to pour out my fierce anger, and anger that is burning with indignation, brothers and sisters. And that fierce anger is used for no one but Yahweh. No one but Yahweh can operate in that Ruah. We can operate in rage, but in the fierceness of his anger, no one operates in that. Search the scripture and show me where anyone operates in that but him. In the fierceness of his indignation and his hot, heated anger, no one but him operates in that. And he's angry with the wicked, with the fierce anger. Why? Because they reject truth. Men that they don't reject, they have no honor. They have no honor for nothing. They have no honor for Torah. They have no honor for truth. They reject it. They defy it. They deny it. Husbands have no honor for the Torah of their homes, for their homes to operate in strength, dealing with their wives, their sons, and their daughters. Wives have no love for Yahweh and operating in the Torah of Yahweh as a place, as a wife, doing what Yahweh says, obeying that faithfully, whereby there will be a strength maintained in the home when the husband man is away. She's about a busybody running a wicked mouth, not taking can tell the responsibilities, and he is as shallow as dirt. I'm not going to give you anything to make you make dirt cakes like Hannah and the little children. I'm going to give you truth cakes. They're kind of hard to eat. Truth is kind of hard to digest. It is. Someone tells you the truth about yourself, it's kind of hard. Yeah, it is. When Sister Roberts tells me I'm big, it's kind of hard. Sure it is. You don't hear that. Do I look that big? Yeah. That's where it is. I use that analogy. Now don't be so narrowly scoped in your mind that you can't understand what I'm saying. We're people that anything that is directed to us and it has any kind of implication of indictment and truth, we get offended. Don't sit here in your hypocrisy like that. We get offended. If someone shows you where you're wrong in a circumstance or situation, you don't like that. You would think you'll rejoice. Okay, that's good. I can use that. I learned something. I've learned something today. That's all right. But don't tell me that's how we respond. And we ought to respond like that. It's one thing that Yahweh does. He gets down on the fallow ground, doesn't it? That's what he's bringing up, the fallow ground. That old hard stuff, boy. You understand those goats over there, when they walk in the garden, the garden is already packed somewhat. But they compact it even more. You'll be surprised at little husband how they compact things. Just constantly stepping on it. Little things. But it packs the dirt. And that's what you do. Just like a pack rat. Just everything you see, you hoard, you get, you take it, and you pack it back. Everything you hear, you think you've heard, you packed it back over the years, and the ground is so hard that can't nobody even break up that fallow ground to let you know you're wicked. Let you know you're stubborn, you have a Jezebel spirit, you're wrong, it's the spirit of whoredom, Yahweh hates it, and that is why he brings his wrath upon you. That's why he's going to pour out his fury. He hates a whore. And if you search scripture, brothers and sisters, you will find, because it is one thing about a rebellious one, you will find that Yahweh, that is one thing that brings his anger down upon people more than anything. And if you see the scriptures I've been dealing with, it deals with a duplicity of the mindset of a person, trying to say they love Yahweh and trying to hold fast to their God. And that's what the spirit of whoredom is. That's what it is. Brother Pat brought that out very clear to us on other nights. And that's what has happened in the assembly today. It has induced a spirit of whoredom in there that you can serve man or you can serve mammoth and Yahweh too, and you can't. And that's why you're loving mammoth more than you're loving Yahweh. That's why you have an affection for your flesh more than you have an affection for Yahweh. That's why the word of Yahweh is not a blessing to your ear, because you're not a hearer of the word of Yahweh. You're not even close to him. You can't even hear Yahweh until you get close to him. You're the stupid daughters and sons that shut their ears from hearing the truth because they're ignorant, they're stupid, they don't know Yahweh. They have no affection for Yahweh, they have no love for him. You too, mom and daddy. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Brother Michael, I won't stop preaching like this. I got brothers who won't let me. Elder Martin, he's not going to let me. He tells me all the time, you lay it out like that. And he's the oldest brother among us. He's not going to let me. So I'm going to keep this sword like to keep mine polished too. And the only way you're going to keep it polished, you must study scripture. That's the way you're going to keep it polished. You got to study scripture. So don't come with me with some little old beat up sword, rusted. You just pulled it out this week. And you haven't looked at it all last week and the week before that. And you read a few scriptures and you think you're going to pull that out on me. Don't bring me with that. Because this sword I got, it will cut that in half. Just cut it in pieces. Hallelujah, Yahweh. In other words, I'm dealing with an anger because of the wickedness of my people. Because they have rejected me. Because they have gone away that I have not commanded them. And I'm going to fulfill my anger upon them, because you're going to know the intent of my heart. Do you understand that's the intent of Yahweh's heart, to bring down great wrath and to bring his anger, his burning fury upon our rebellious people? Do you understand that, Jerusalem? He's going to do that. We become so comfortable in our flesh that we're not even affected when our sins and our corruption is revealed unto us. We become arrogant. Who's he talking to? Well, I'm talking to you, fruit head. Do you hear that, my brother up there, if you're listening? Because only a fruit head, only a fool will reject that. You call Yahweh's people a fool. My, he doesn't even know scripture. He doesn't. But a man rejects Yahweh, he is a fool. The scripture says, if there be a brother among you that commits adultery, he said, don't even eat with that brother. Reject him. Why? Because a man that commits adultery hates his own soul. How can you love me when you commit an adultery? And I'm not talking about the physical sense of adultery, but a spiritual sense. When you go away from the truth of Yahweh, well, that's my mama. She has gone away from Yahweh's truth. How can that be love there? How can that be a truth there? What is it based upon? A natural thing? Hamashiach came to destroy that. He came to break down those natural laws and those natural works of the law that Israel had done. He came to destroy it. It's not based upon that. Based upon the living truth. That's what it's based upon. His love is not based upon some natural progeneration or some genetic strand from you. It's based upon the truth of His Torah. My brother and my sister. My brother, who those that do the will. My mother, those that hear and do the will of Yahweh. If they're not, they're none of mine. I'm that foolish to believe that. I'm that ignorant to believe that. I'm that simple to believe that. You don't have to, but I will. I will believe what He said. I will keep His truth. The simplicity of it. Because if He could take a simple man like me and reveal the simple truth, don't tell me, you that have more education and more knowledge than I do, He can reveal it to you. And I will not reject that. I will not. To appease anyone or to have an association, I won't do that. It doesn't make any difference if there's no great affection toward me, because you don't have any toward Him. So how can you love me when you don't even love Him? And I will know you love Him because His mitzvot is important to you. It doesn't make any difference you love someone more than you love me. I don't care about that. Because you don't even love the one you think you love. Hallelujah, Yahweh. I like Yahweh's love. Straightforward. Honest. Tells me about me. What can I tell Him about Him? Nothing. All I can say is, you're wonderful. You're tough. You're sweet to me. I bless you. Anything you show me about me, I know you care. That's all I can say. I thank you, Yahweh. It's a terrible evil in the land because judgment is removed. When you remove judgment, you destroy the foundation and the principles of everything. Is it amazing how parents can judge? I used to watch my natural mother and her sister. I watched them judge one another's children. Now, we all were wicked as wickedness can be. But my mother's sister will always judge my mother's children a little worse. Well, I'm glad mine is not doing that. And theirs doing the same thing. You understand? And my mother was the same way. You all just don't do like them. Well, what? We were doing what they were doing. No different. And yet they had some sense of pride because her son didn't go to jail because hers went to jail. I can knock on wood. And mine didn't. Knock on wood for what? That's how stupid this world is. And don't tell me that's not the mindset of this generation. That's the way it is. And yet that sister will tell that other sister, I love you. That's not love. Love seeketh no evil. It doesn't look for anything evil. It doesn't look for anything that happens to anyone else. It's a lie from hell. That's no love. I will look at them hypocrites and I will just say, you all are pitiful. That's why I began to say, if that's love, don't love me. I don't want that kind of love. That's why I tell you, I don't want that kind of love. Don't love me with that trash. Because I saw what they call love between each other. I didn't want them loving me. Yet, even my mother, don't love me with that. Don't call yourself loving me. I don't want your kiss. No, you're not going to kiss me. I will not do that. Because Hamashiach was betrayed by a kiss. And I will not let her do that. I will never let her do that to me. Well, you mother, no, I'm not. She said, my mother, those that do the will of my Abba. Not you. I don't care how, what you say. Well, I had you. I say, sure you did. I don't dishonor that. But I know what scriptures say too. I bless Yahweh that He has always made me, that I have not been a cowardly man when it came to truth. I have not tried to pamper anyone when it comes to that. Even in my ignorance. Even when I didn't know. I bless Him for that. Look what it says in Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Same principle now. This is a good truth here. I'm not going to finish it all, but I got some good solid scriptures. I could have had more. I could have printed out 100. But I said I wanted to get finished. And I just started on this page right here. And I haven't even started on that one. I got two more like that. This is what scripture says in Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Chapter 22, verse 17. Now he's speaking to Israel here, isn't he? As I read, you will know he's speaking to Israel. Now he's letting Israel know that they are condemned because of the filthiness of their lives. Look what he says in Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 17. It says, "And the word of Yahweh came unto me." Now, was it the word? The word came unto Ezekiel, saying, look at this, "Son of Adam, son of man," he set the house, now the bed, did he specify who he was dealing with? He was dealing with the house of Israel. He said, "The bed of Israel is to me has become what? Dross." Do you understand what dross is? When you're burning silver to get the impurities out, the dross always move away. And that's what he was expressing there. They're becoming to me like dross. They're moving away. They're moving away. And that's what dross does. In silver, gold, in any kind of foundry, any kind of metal, the dross. I don't care what the metal is, there's dross there. There are other chemicals or irons or alloys in that breaks down the strength of that, so they have to put it into intense heat to get some pure form of it to make it stronger. And then they may add some of the element in there to give it a strength. They may do that. So he said, "Israel become like dross unto me." And dross is a moving away. It is a filthiness of a people that caused them to move away from Yahweh. Now that's what we have become, as dross unto Yahweh. We're like dross. We move away. We move away from the mitzvot, from the Torah, from the teaching of HaMashiach. We move away from those things. And we move into our own little path, our own little way that seems right. The way that you think it right, it seems right, but it's not right. He said his house has become unto him like dross. They have become like dross. Move it away. Turn it backwards away from him. And he said, "All they are brass." Now you must understand the indication of these expressions unto Yahweh. And then the brass has that meaning of harlotry. It's a metaphor of harlotry. They become all like whores. That's what that means. It means that, brothers and sisters. If you even have a concordance, a strong concordance, and look up that, it will tell you the Strong's number. And it will give you indications of the meanings. Instead of you spending your money on foolishness, buy your nice looking concordance. Or get your good dictionary to study scripture. You have enough to do that. He said, "They become as brass, as harlotry, and as tin, feeble and full of dross. They move away from me." He said, "And they are become as iron." Do you understand that? They become crude. Is this not a crude generation? Is that a crude people? Your sons and daughters, are they not crude? They have no natural affection. He said, "They become like iron." They become, he said, "and also like lead." And lead has the connotation of a sense of reprobate. They're reprobate. You can't even speak to them. You cannot even teach them things. You think these words are in scripture for us not to understand what they mean? Do you think that Yahweh, did not I read, "And the word of Yahweh came unto me"? Did I read that the word of Yahweh came unto me? So if he put that there, did he intend for us to understand the metaphorism of those words? We will read something like that and never stop us. We just read on. That's what reading is. But study will cause you to dig deeper and find out the significance of what Yahweh was applying to a house. He didn't intend for everybody to know. He intended for his house to know. He intended for his people to know. And when he filled his true servants with the Ruah, they would go beyond the peripheral. They would go beyond what they're reading. They would seek the depths of it. Hallelujah. That's what they would do. I go beyond what I read. Are you boasting? No, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters. I want to bring your palate. I want to bring something to the palate that will fill your bellies. I don't want to give you something all sugar laden down. Give you a hyper for the moment, and then you go down tomorrow, this evening. I want to feed you with the truth of Yahweh that you will stand in the midst of the battle. That's what I want to give you, some meat and gravy and biscuits, not no swine meat. You see, they become like that. In verse 19, "Therefore this is what Yahweh says, the sovereign Yahweh, because you are all become dross, looking back, turning away, look therefore. I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem." Now he's talking to Israel. "I'm going to bring you to my city. As they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace." You hear that? That's what they do with those things, don't they? They must put them in the furnace, in the foundry. They must be heated up to make it. He said, "I'm going to gather you there," and he said, "to blow the fire upon it, my anger." He said, "to melt it." So will I gather you in what? In what? He said, "I'm going to gather you in my anger and in my what? In my fury, my burning indignation, my venomous fire, I'm going to gather you in that. Now, I'm not going to gather you in some love or some little sweet emotion. He said, and I will leave you there, and I'm going to break you down. I'm going to melt you. Do you all hear that? Now, is this the Abba that we know? Is this the one that this pagan Christian arm and this and many of the brothers of the Yahweh said they teach you? They don't teach things like that. He said, I'm going to bring you down, I'm going to melt you. He said, I'm going to bring my fire upon you. He said, you're going to know it's me. And he's not talking like some little effeminate thing. He's talking with his eyes burning like the fire coal. So I'm going to burn you. I'm going to melt you. I'm going to bring you down there. If you know me, you're going to trust me. And that's what he's got to do to this generation. His house is going to bring you down. He's going to bring us down. And I look forward to that. I don't fear. Why? Because he's my help. He is my defense. He is my refuge. If he bring me down, did he bring Hamashiach down? Down to the pit of the grave? Sure he did. Did he suffer great shame? Sure he did. If he did that for the begotten of his bosom, what are we? What are we? He said, I'm going to bring you down. And I'm going to bring you down because I'm angry at you. I'm mad. I'm so angry you don't understand. I'm so angry. I'm furious. I'm in a rage. I'm a crazy thing. You don't understand that. Because you don't know me. You think I'm some little toy that you can plod along with and play. You think I'm some like little some little dirt cake pie you make. Now, that's not me. He said, I'm going to bring you down to the furnace. And I'm going to leave you there. Now, that's something he said, I'm going to leave you there. I'm not going to pull you out. I'm going to leave you there. I'm going to leave you there in the midst of the furnace. And look what he says here. For my anger, he said, I will gather you in my anger. Now, he's bringing them there because he's angry with them. I will gather you in my anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there, and I will melt you. Verse 21. Yes. Emphatically what he says, I will gather you, and I will blow upon you in the fire, in the anger of my wrath, my hostility. I'm going to blow upon you in the midst of my wrath, and you shall be melted in the midst thereof. I'm going to blow upon you. I'm going to cause my wrath. That is an interesting word. It has a great connotation. It is enunciated Ibra in the Hebraic. But look what it means. I want you to understand this. His wrath is his outpouring, his overflow, excessive, his fury, arrogance. And it's an overflowing rage of fury. And that's what his wrath is. It's different than his anger. Ibra is different than his F. It's different. He said, I'm going to blow. My anger is going to blow like the seas turning. It's going to blow like a cyclone when it develops in the midst of the ocean. It's going to blow like Katrina when it came through a wicked land. Oh, he could have dropped that down anywhere in the city. It's just that New Orleans was just close to the coast. That's all. He could have dropped and taken all this out. If that's the case, he should have wiped San Francisco off the map. One out of every man, four men in San Francisco. That's 25%, isn't it? One out of every four men has AIDS. That's one out of every four. One out of every four. And about three out of every four men there are faggots. You wonder why they're? There's an article I wanted to read today. The women, these educated women, they have no companions, no husband, because they're so arrogant, they're so stupid. I'm telling you, they have no husband. They can't find any. And the men are saying, we don't want to marry you. Because you have nothing to offer but some sexual pleasure. I take advantage of that, and I go to your sister, I go to your mama, go to your grandmama, because they're all desperate. And that's what it is. They're all desperate. You take a city like New York, that's why I say to you wives, you all don't have to hear me. If a man wanted to be a whoremonger, he could. You take a city like New York, you go to Bronx and the community where the hoods are. You find that one out of every three young black men in prison. Then you got another one that's on drugs somewhere. Then you got another one that's a faggot. So they're not men, they're for women at all. And so the men take full advantage of that. You understand that? Harold tells me about my cousin. Donnie is 53 years old. He's a tall man. He's a very suave man. The way he talked, I'm telling you. We called him Snake when I was growing up. Donnie's about 6. He's about 6'2", 6'3". Built nice. Do you understand that? Nice looking boy. Nice looking man. And Harold says to me all the time, he said, Pastor Roberts, that is just a wild thing because he's 54 years old, 53. And he said, they must be between 26 and 40. That's it, 26. They're ready to give over. Because there are no men there. They don't care. They do not care. That mentality is what we have against Yahweh. He is the only man of war. He is the only one that is the truth. No one else. No one else. And if we don't walk according to His Torah, His law, then woe unto us. That is the real reality in the world, whether you all want to accept that or not. Whether you acknowledge it or not, it's to your own ignorance and say it's not. You are just kidding yourself, you understand. That's the real reality. When a woman has a man that loves Yahweh, she better get on her face and bless Yahweh. I'm telling you, daughters, as Sheriah, as she bowed before Abraham and called him Baal, you better thank Yahweh. I don't care what you say, daughters. You can be lifted up in your pride all you want to say, not so, but it is so. It is so. It is so. And then there are countries whereby there are one man to every five women killed in war, especially in the continent of Africa. Many of the Arabic countries. The only one where it's not like that is China. And then you got such a proliferation of homosexuals there because there are no women. They've killed the little girls off for a boy. You got a proliferation of faggots. Well, these cities, that's all they are. And you figure in America and Britain and London over in Europe, 84% of the population lives in cities. And it's about 80% in America. They all live in cities. And you got these young girls having babies, two or three babies, and there are no men there. It is a curse, brothers and sisters. Yahweh balanced that thing. He made a man, He made a woman. And He's shown His anger upon a cursed, wicked generation, and they're not meant to have it. I'm telling you, daughters, I don't care what you think in your little nickel-dime brain. That begins with you, Sister Roberts. To have a man in the midst, one that, how much years ahead, you better bless Yahweh for that. Well, you take it away from the beauty of a woman. No, when a woman understands her beauty and her place, and understands where Yahweh has the purpose of her calling, she will bless Yahweh. He made her the man will not be lonely. Give him some help, meats, to fulfill the Torah of Yahweh, to obey, to walk in the light of His truth. She has a blessed high esteem position. She is the one that is a progenitor. She is a bearer of the seed of man that brings forth a seed after His likeness. She is of great importance. But what these things today, they are not women. In some hybrid form. I said and I don't take it back. Created a hybrid form, and the men today, they're not even a hybrid form. They're not men. Because a man must have the Ruah of Yahweh in him. HaMashiach must be his head. He's the head of every man. And everyone is not a man. They're beasts today. HaMashiach must be the head. And Yahweh said, I'm angry with that. Why? Because when you have men, they bring us to the judgment of Yahweh. When you have a true man, He will bring you to judgment. Woman, when you have a true husband, He will bring you before the judgment of Yahweh. And by judgment, we are corrected. And for that, you ought to bless Yahweh. If you got a man that does that, you ought to pray all this. Yahweh, bless him. Keep him strong. Keep him vibrant. Keep him sincere. Keep him in love with you. Hallelujah, Yahweh. I don't care if the world doesn't love me. I don't care who doesn't like me. It really doesn't make any difference. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how Yahweh loves me. I believe that He cares for me. And I trust Him for that. He said, I'm going to bring you in verse 20. He says, it's going to be like fire. I'm going to gather you in my anger and my fury. And I will leave you there and I will melt you. He said, I'm going to gather you. I'm going to blow my anger upon you. My wrath, this indignation, this arrogance. I'm going to be arrogant. I'm going to show you I can do. That's what an arrogant person is. So who's going to stop me? He's trying to show you the expression of His fury. It is so intense because of our evil ways, brothers and sisters. Because of our corruption. Because we like judgment. This is Yahweh here. This is not something that I have written. You are reading that in the book in your hand. Are you not? This is not me talking. He says in verse 22, as silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall you be melted in the midst thereof. And this is what he said, and you shall know that I, Yahweh, have poured out my fury upon you, my burning anger. He said, you're going to know it's me. Now, what kind of anger is that he wants you to know that it represents Him? People today are not angry with sin. They're not angry. They're not angry with their own wickedness, their own lies and their own corruption, the stench of their own heart. They're not angry with that. But they will get angry at someone else when they perceive that they have done something wrong. They will hold things in their own heart against others when yet they will not be angry with their own sin and their own corruption. Yahweh said, I'm angry with you. I'm angry with you. It repented Yahweh that he made man. What is said in that verse that it angered Yahweh? That he made such a weak imbecile of a thing. And he gave him everything he needed. He came and visited him and stood before him and blessed him and increased him. He said, man, this is the worst thing I ever done. But he must complete the work. It has to be done. And that's the part I lack. Why? Because I'm a part of that completion. That's all right by me. I'm a part of that completion. I'm a part of that completion. And he's going to do it. I'm going to close here in Devarim, in Deuteronomy. But I'm going to finish this. There's so much more to this. I'm going to finish it. I may finish it this week because we're going to gather for an hour each night for prayer and doing Peshach Unleavened from 7 to 8. And I may finish this on this week to come. And there's a message that I do want to preach. I think the house need to hear it. It says in Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 22, it says, Yahweh says, I want you to understand this thing, the ruin of the nation, that you may teach your children these things and that they may understand. Devarim 29, verse 22. Yahweh says that so that the generations to come of your children shall rise up after you, and the strangers that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of Yahweh in that of that land, and the sickness. Now, people don't believe that Yahweh brings sickness. And the sickness which Yahweh laid upon it. Does it say that in your text? Does it say sickness? And these corruptors today, Yahweh, when he does something, he does it, brothers and sisters. He said, and the sickness is laid upon it. And that the whole land thereof, the Sodom and this Gomorrah, this nature of America and Canada and Britain and all these nations. He said, and the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt. There's nothing worth anything coming out of this nation. It's producing whoredom and homosexuals and a perverted type of religion that is a mixture of every kind of pagan doctrine there is, and Christendom and everything. And those that Yahweh began to bring to the light of his truth, they want to incorporate that same trash into this way, and they have polluted it. And they are afraid because it has become a money-generating thing for many, and it's not a love of truth for them at all. He said that it is not sown, nor bears, nor any grass growing therein. No fruit, nothing is coming forth out of this nation. Nothing is coming forth out of the people that say they love Yahweh. Like the overthrowing of Sodom. Now, look at Yahweh. He said, now who overthrew Sodom? Yahweh did, like the overthrowing of Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboim. He said, which Yahweh overthrew. How did he overthrow it? In what? In what? And he's going to overthrow this Sodom trash. In his anger, he overthrew it. Yahweh got angry. When he expressed his anger, brothers and sisters, you don't want to be a part of that. He overthrew it in his anger and his wrath, his heated rage, his great displeasure, his indignation, his anger, his pausing. And he said, in his wrath, and his wrath, even all nations shall say, wherefore hath Yahweh done this in the land? What means the heat of what? Rage. Of what kind of anger? Rage. Now that is some kind of anger when it expresses great anger. It is beyond expressive or expression in terms. It is just an anger, it's a great anger. What is like it? What is like the anger of Yahweh? Nothing, brothers and sisters. And we better understand this. We better understand that this is the character of Yahweh. This is an expression of Yahweh, his anger. And he's going to express that, brother, his fury, his resentment. There's a sharp resentment of those and things. That's why he loved Yaakov and he hated Esau, because he knew what was in his heart. That's why he raised up the Israel out of the loins of Yaakov. No more Yaakov, but Israel, because he knew the violent man that Esau was. He needed a man over. He needed a lineage of his people that would be one that would shepherd them and guide them to him. And show him his character. And what Esau was a representation of this strong manly form of his own ability. That's why he was a great hunter. To say, look what I've done. Yaakov said, the only way I can gain anything is by the birthright. And it must be the blessing of Yahweh. And that's what he did. It was Yahweh's plan. And so the wrath and the anger of Yahweh is not something that we think we know how to express. Because if we did, we would be angry with our wickedness every day, our sins, our attitude. we'll be angry. It will constantly be before us. We will be reminded of our ways and things that we do that are inappropriate before Yahweh. We will be angry at those things. Our disposition will not be like it is. We will oppose those things instead of opposing one another. And that's what we do. And Yahweh says, my anger is going to be poured out. The nation shall be brought to ruin, and I'm going to bring them down. Now, I'm going to stop there. I do want to read this before I stop. One verse. And I'm going to pick this up. Hallelujah, Yahweh. And I'm going to show you an example when I began this of Yahweh's great anger poured out. And he brought his people under great bondage because of their sins. That's why we are under great oppression today. Because of your own sins. And Yahweh is the one that's orchestrating it. Because you rejected truth. That's why you oppress, depressed. That's why you can't handle things. That's why you don't know anything. Because it's your own wickedness. The righteous man, he discerneth both time and judgment. The wicked doesn't understand time, judgment, anything at all. So when you're wicked sitting here, you don't understand that Yahweh is judging you. He says in Yeshkel, I want to read this, listen to it. And it shall come to pass in the same time when Gog shall rise up against the land of Israel, saith the sovereign Yahweh, and my fury shall come up in my face. Do you all hear that? He said his fury, his anger, you're going to see it in his visage. He said when they come against his city, his land, his people, he said you're going to see it in his visage. He said you're going to know because the earth is going to be contorted and everything in creation is you're going to see the anger of Yahweh. And this is the generation that said, Yahweh said, you're going to see my anger in my face. It's nothing like seeing the anger in someone's face, is it? When a child sees the anger in the parent's face, they get a little intimidated, don't they? That's the only thing that intimidates them. Today, parents are intimidated by the children today. You understand? Even little old things intimidate parents today. And Yahweh said, you're going to see my anger. That's in Yeshkel chapter 38, verse 18. He said, you're going to see my anger in my face, my fury, my venomous, poisonous anger. You're going to see it expressed in me. He's going to let you see that. He's going to let you. No man can look upon Yahweh and live. He said, that you're going to see. You're going to know it's me, and you're going to know that I am the one, and I am the splendid one. He gets angry. He's angry every day, brothers and sisters. I'm going to continue this. I wanted to take it in a manner today that it will open up your understanding to some degree. That we understand our Abba. He is not this fictitious pictures that we have learned of him and these caricatures that we have painted of Yahweh. He is not that. He is not the caricature like they painted of their prophet Muhammad with the bomb in his turban that caused all the hell and the rising up and throughout the other parts of the world. So you can't paint a picture of him. But he said that when my anger is poured out, you're going to see that in my face. I want you to see it. Even the earth is going to express that. He's angry. And we're going to see the very final indignation of his anger. We're going to see the wrath of Yahweh. His poisonous venom is poured out. Well, if he was some kind of creator, what would he do something like that? He is love. That's the trash that Christianity has taught you. There are daddies that have killed their sons and their daughters because of what they have done. There are sons that have rose up against their daddies and they have killed them. Marvin Gaye, you all don't know about him. That's been born lately unless you heard of him. But he rose up in his daddy's house and he shot him dead. There are many sons that are daddies because that's a righteous judgment. That's a righteous judgment. And that's the way Yahweh is going to judge it. We don't believe that, but that's righteous. He killed him. Boy, going to beat his daddy? Go kick his daddy's head? It ought not to be. No more than a Jezebel daughter doing that to a mother. That's why it's important, brothers and sisters. You that are married, you that have children, for the daddy to exercise his place of authority in the home. It's important. Because many times you make a woman cannot raise a man to be a man in any way at all. You make them soft and cream puffish. The little kids today, you see them in the stores with these mamas, especially the Hispanics and all them, they act like total nincompoops, ignoramuses. You see a mama with a bunch of welfare, you know she's in welfare, she got a cart so full of every kind of junk it is, she got two in the cart and two running behind her, and they're grabbing everything it is. That's the black ones. And the white ones want to be sophisticated with theirs, and the way they do theirs. And they get the welfare and all at the same thing. The young are just as crazy as they come. And that's the truth. They have no strength in the home. You need strength. You need a head in every home. You need that. May Yahweh help you today. You that are listening, may Yahweh bless you today. May He strengthen you. May He cause your heart to delight in His truth. Because He is going to show the visage of His anger. And it's not far off. So you began to cleanse yourself. You that are here, you that are listening, from all the wickedness of the flesh and the ruah, began to perfect this sanctification, the set apartness from all wickedness and the fear of Yahweh. We bless you all that are listening. We hope that this helped you today. I will continue this message on next week as we gather during the time of Pesach for 1 hour each night. So you that will join us, do join us. We do expect some to be here that have called and written. They will be here with us starting tomorrow. And then the sister coming from Bronx, New York on Monday. And then Brother Rex and his wife. So whomever Yahweh send, we will bless you all. May Yahweh bless you all. Thank you so much. I want to say to you all that have sent the gifts, generous gifts on this week. And they were very kind. We thank you for that. We were able to use some of the monies to help send for someone to come visit us. It costs a little money to do that. We were able to send money to Africa and to India. We have a pastor in India that he's sick. And when people are sick in countries like that, they do not have the hygiene like we have in this country. And Pastor Babu's wife, she wrote me, he had to be awful sick. And what I rely upon when Brother Jermaine and Brother Dolphus, when they bring in extra, we always try to send them some money. We always. Pastor Elder Martin, these men don't ask for money, but I know you can sense it in their letters. He said, things are so, there's such despair in Kenya. The drought, the people are dying, the animals are dying. And men like that, they don't live in houses like us, even in mobile homes. They live on earthen floors. They don't have access to things that we have here. And they travel the country. And they travel to the little parishioners. And so $100 or $200 there, it goes a long way. Pastor Babu takes the money and buys a rice for all the people. And they eat. They don't eat two or three times with snacks at night like we have here. They eat a meal with a little tea, a little biscuits. He sent pictures of them when the monies came and they were bringing the big bags of rice. And you could just see the joy. They're barefooted, brothers and sisters. They don't have shoes like you and me, 4 or 5 pairs. I got 10 pairs of shoes. They don't have shoes like that. You don't have change of clothing like we do here. And so those that were very generous, I bless you, Brother Michael, you and your wife. I bless you all, your kindness and your love for the work here. Brother Lorenz, you and your wife there in Florida, thank you so kindly. Brother David Manning and Brother Warren, that's the brother I was telling you all about, that he said, could he write the offerings off that he sent. I said, don't send your offerings here. And yet, because of the honesty, he sent a nice offering this week. So I bless you as well, my brother. And all you that listen, we thank you for all things. Come on, Brother Pat. Brother said, you didn't sing the love song last week. We're going to sing it today. Is that all right? Sometime in this message here, did you always show any love? He showed anger, didn't he? And so he expressed himself that way. And that is not a character flaw either. That's what Christendom has taught us. That's what the television have taught people. They have the sitcoms and they don't get upset on those. It's just a funny thing. It just touched the funny bone, doesn't it? And that's why people are consumed with that. They're married to things like that more than they are to Yahweh. Men spend more time on that than they do with their wives. Men love sitcoms and HBO and what is that one that come on HBO? They're always writing about it. It's about these gangsters. The children love the idols more than they love talking with their parents. They do. They can meet some stranger and talk to them and feel very comfortable with them. That's a sick mentality. If I go out here and talk to a woman and I can't talk to my wife, something's wrong. Something's sick with me. And a child has a comfort, they can go out there and talk to some dead stranger. And their mother, their father, whether it's a stepdaddy, what, they can't talk to them. That's a sick child. That's a twisted man. I don't care what you say. My wife can go out here and talk to some other brother and take no comfort in me, talk with me. She's not going to do that with me. I wouldn't even dishonor my wife that way. Well, you say you got a man's thing. Yeah, I got a man's thing. I like talking to men. Men talk different than women. Hallelujah, Yahweh. And I'm tough, too. Huh? I tell you the truth, though, don't I, son? All the toughness I show toward, does it help? Huh? Makes you think, doesn't it? Does it develop you? Sure it does. Sure it does. Will I say something to him to hurt him? No, it may hurt him. It hurt his feeling, but it's going to make him strong. In order for you to be a warrior, you got to go through the course, boy. Hmm? You can't be no professional basketball player and just wait till the beginning of the season and practice. That's why the Lakers got rid of Big Daddy Shaq, because he wanted to wait till the season to play himself in shape. And Kobe said, you're a big fat thing, because Kobe's always ready to go. He just needed one player around him to get where he needs to go. That's all he needs. That's all he needs. Sure. So Yahweh got to get us in shape. And it begins with tearing up the fallow ground. And he hits hard. That thing doesn't hit hard when you tear it up, Brother Chris. When you set that time down, does it dig deep? Huh? Answer me, my brother. I don't hear you. Huh? Does it go down there? Sometimes you pull up stuff you didn't even know was there. Huh? That's why we're in the garden. They're pulling up stuff you didn't even know was there. Because the time pulls it up. Old sticks, old garbage bags, rocks. What in the world? Stuff. I thought that was out of here. No, it's deep down in the ground. Got that trash in your knees to come out. Yahweh bless you all. Let us stand to our feet. Come on, Brother Pat, to all you all that are listening. We bless you all in Hamashiach's mighty name. And may your Shabbat be one that is great. Hallelujah. Come on.
So let there be love.
Your neighbor's hand and sing that. Come on.
So let there be love shed among us. Let there be love in our lives. May now your love sweep the sound. Cause us
morning, wherever you are, every brother, every sister, Yahweh speak upon your sister Catherine, sister Pamela, all of you, our friends, we bless you this Shabbat. Brother Nathan, we bless you and all those gathered with you.
So let there be love shed among us. Let
thy love, thy Ahava is great. We thank you for simple truth and judgment. For you declare you're known by the Ruah of judgment. You declare that we have omit the weightier things, judgment, justice. We have strained at the gnat, but we have forgotten the camel. I pray you help us all. Those that are listening, those that will be journeying their way to be with us, protect them on the highways as they drive. We pray you keep them. Touch us all today, I pray, and help me as a man of Yahweh, that I may stand strong and bless you, my Abba, for all of my brothers, those that have faithfully stood by me, and the men that you're sending, like Brother Michael, precious man, his wife that is our truth, I bless you with him. Men like Brother Wideman. But these brothers here over the years, the Deacon Benny's, the Elder March, all of them, Brother David Lee, I bless you for them, Yahweh, for standing with me, Brother Dale and all of them, the young men. Keep them, I pray. I thank you for their faithful love, their faithful support, their faithful correction, and their obedience. It causes my heart to continuously be judged and indicted. I thank you for them, the precious daughters that have been faithful. Over the years, Yahweh, keep them, every one of them. I bless you for them. They have stood by my side as I bless you for them. I thank you. Keep them all, I pray. All the young ones, every daughter, bless everyone. Cause the heart to rejoice, the young, the old. Keep them all, Abba Yahweh. You're good. I do bless you for that, Yahweh. I thank you for the faithfulness of their love toward me. I love you above all things. I don't know how to express it. I simply want to show you in faithfulness and obedience. My words mean nothing without action, without faith. So keep us all, I pray. Bless all of my precious brothers here and around the world. Bless all of my precious sisters here and around the world. We will bless you and thank you for all things. In the mighty name of Yahshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel, I bless you and all the kiddushim cried. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.